you, Cindy, praise team, for leading us to the throne of grace and worship. It is great to be back with you guys. Pastor Ansu just preached the word with fire last week, so we're so thankful for that. And we are going to take our Bibles and we're going to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Before we jump into God's word, we're just going to have a word of prayer to kind of settle our hearts. And get us to think about some of the things that are really a challenge in our world today. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, dear God, that you have not left us here, Lord, without hope. Lord, you have not left us here, Father, without a guide, Lord, in your word. And Father, you have given us the comforter, Lord, your Holy Spirit, to remind us of your word, Lord, to convict our hearts, to change us, to help us to walk, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit and in his fruit. And I pray, Lord, today as we open up your word, that you would just speak to our hearts in a way that only you can. Father, just direct our thoughts. Father, comfort us today, Lord, I pray, with the coming of Jesus Christ. Lord, you haven't forgotten this world. Lord, you're gonna come and you're going to redeem, Lord, your people. But I pray at the same time, dear God, that you would redeem us as a people of righteousness and as a people of salt and light in this world. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to jump right on in this morning. Go to 1 Thessalonians if you guys would. And we're going to look at a number of things. By the way, is the world going crazy or what? There is so much happening in our world, it defies our imagination. And I want to move right on, right away, Chris, if you'd advance us to where we are today. We want to talk about this day that's talked about in all the scripture called the Day of the Lord. And we want to get an understanding about that. And we want to stand today firmly and not shaken by all the things that are going on out there. And I want to take us right away, Chris, if you would, to just some thoughts that jive us and we certainly can agree with this, right? We are living in times of crisis, chaos, sorrow, and pain. And it is cataclysmic. It's everywhere. And the unknown elements of our future are a major source of fear. And as we contemplate the events of our day and our thoughts concerning the last days, like as Christians, we kind of know that there's a day that the Lord is going to come back. There's going to be judgment. And there's going to be salvation. But I want to encourage us, let's listen to God's word as he addresses the coming events to alleviate our fear and to really build us up in our faith to stand strong. So we're going to kind of dive right on in. The eternal truth I want to leave you guys with today, and the first part of our eternal truth is sort of our background, kind of what we're thinking, what we're going through, what we're wrestling with. But I want to take us to the very bottom in italics. The day of the Lord, and get this down, is God's ultimate time of judgment and salvation. It's kind of like two-sided. It's two sides of a coin. You know, it's a time of judgment on the earth, and it's a time of salvation. It's a time of judgment for Satan because he is the root of the problem. And I want to throw this out. When we begin to understand the day of the Lord, we can live confidently in Christ, yet consciously in righteousness. And I'll talk about what that means in a second. I want to share with you guys, there is no way in this one message that I'm going to lay out the day of the Lord in one time. The next couple of weeks, we're going to look at the day of the Lord, and we're also going to look at the first week of December. We're going to get a grip on what do we do in light of the fact that this day is coming. What do we do as a church? And we'll look at that. So I want to take us right away to where we are. And by the way, this is a challenging thing. The present landscape. And by the way, the present landscape, isn't it kind of ugly? Isn't it scary? There's a new development every day. You know, and there's questions that are being raised. Is the U.S. going to be drawn into the war with Israel and Hamas? Will the war end? By the way, I don't know if you guys heard this. We kind of almost forgot in the war with Israel and Hamas that Ukraine and Russia are still at war. And just yesterday, Russia began to bomb Kyiv again with earnestness. And it's like the world seemingly is coming apart at its literal seams. And I want to take a look today just a little bit at this, and I want to talk about we need to take a perspective on the events of history. We need to take a worldview that comes from God and the scriptures that don't change. And I want to look today at a couple of things. I want to look at the fact that, I want us to get this in our heart, there is two kingdoms that are in opposition and constant fighting with each other, God and the satanic kingdom. We're going to take a look this morning for a little bit at Israel and the nations. And by the way, isn't it kind of amazing that, you know, sometimes when everything's going good, we kind of forget about Israel. It's small. You know, I'll share with you guys a couple of quick facts about Israel. You know, Israel is the size of New Jersey. Literally. The population of Israel is 9.3 million. The population of New Jersey is 9.3 million. Isn't that unbelievable? It's amazing, right? The total land area of Israel is 8,469 square miles. The total land area of New Jersey is 8,722 square miles. It's like so close, like 50 miles difference. The density of our population is there's 1,000 people, about 1,100 people per square mile in Israel. And in New Jersey, it's about 1,250 people per square mile. It's like God could send us over there and we would think that we're at home. It would feel the same way. The size is the same. The density of people is the same. The land mass is the same. It's unbelievable. And here's the funny thing I want you guys to think about, that all of the world today is looking at this place called Israel, which is the size of New Jersey. You know, we could drive top to bottom in a couple hours and east to west in about an hour. It's unbelievable. But all the world is focused on that tiny spot. And we'll take a look about some of the goals and concerns of those kingdoms. The first thing I want you guys to get a hold of, we got to go back to the Word of God, not just the geography. But the first thing we got to get a hold of today is there is two kingdoms, right? And our worldview has to come out of this, right? People are not basically good. And there is an evil one called Satan, Lucifer as he began. And he's the one who started this all up. And if we begin to look at the world, if we try to look at it just as people battling people and everything's been the same since the beginning, the world doesn't make sense. Some of the things we see don't make any sense. And I want you to get this in your mind. If you have a Bible, you can turn there. But if not, I'm going to show you. Write this down. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15 describes the fall of the king of Babylon. And it is the same picture, and God uses this to describe the fall of Satan in eternity past. And I want you guys to get this idea. Here's what's going on. Satan wants to take God's role. He wants to usurp God's authority, and he wants to be in control of everything. And it comes out, and Isaiah wrote this down. He says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground? You who weaken the nations." Everybody look up for a second. Do you sense that that's going on in our world? Like some of the things I see, it seems like human beings don't act like they're human. Like where is that coming from? And it's coming from the evil one. And look at the evil one. Here's his goal. It says, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. And I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High." And God responded to that. He said, "Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol." You know, by the way, in Israel, that was like the garbage pit. There's no lower place to go. and it says, to the lowest depths of the pit. And I want us to understand, that's kind of the perspective we got to take. As we look at the world, don't just think it's Hamas that's messed up. Don't just think it's Vladimir Putin that's messed up. There's a force behind this evil that we can't explain. And his name is Satan, or the evil one. And he was a murderer from the beginning. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. You know, he is all of those things that are against God. And I'm going to go, Chris, go right down to the next verse, if you would. You know, and I'll throw this out. I'm going to hit this very quickly this morning for our time's sake. And we've looked at this before. But back in the Garden of Eden, right? And by the way, everybody look up for a second. The Garden of Eden is not a fable. It's not a parable. It's the reality of God putting man on earth and man choosing to do things his own way at the unction of the evil one. And we see this here. It says, now the serpent, by the way, that's Satan. It says, look what it says about Satan. He was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. Everybody look up for a second. Doesn't that seem like that's still going on in the world? Like who gets people to do some of the things that we see? Like, there's things that I couldn't dream up in all day some of the evil that I see happen. At the same time, I see some evil come out of me sometimes, and I go, where'd that come from? Right? You know, and the evil one is at work. Praise God for salvation in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I just moved down to the last verse there and said, you know, as a result of that, God punished the serpent. And God set apart a war that was going to happen. It says, and look what Satan says in this verse. He says to the woman, his deception, he says, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, this is the apple or the fruit that's on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He says, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And I want to throw that out. That same deception is what I see happening in our world today. And I want to think about this in the sense of one person right now. Think about Vladimir Putin. By the way, and there's all these stories, if you guys look out on the internet, that says he has cancer, he's going to die. You know, all these things are out there. I don't know if it's true. It may be true. And we may not find out if he died till like a year later, if he really did. You know, because we know how the communication comes from there. But can you think about this person who is hell-bent on bombing hospitals, people, other things? Where does that come from? And by the way, and not even thinking about that one day he will stand before the living God. Where does that come from? And it comes from, again, Satan has blinded people so much. You know, and it's there. I'm going to go right down to the next slide, Chris, if you would, my brother. And there's these two kingdoms, right? And it says, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you've done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. And he's still doing the same thing over and over and over. And I want to leave you with on this idea, this thought about two kingdoms. Look what God said there. He says, I'm going to put enmity or hatred between you and the woman. He's talking to Satan. And between your seed and her seed. And he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. And by the way, that is the very first prophecy about what we just sang, Jesus Messiah in the scriptures. Satan struck out. He brought Eve and Adam and he made them fall. And God struck back and said, okay, but I'm going to make all things right. And I'm going to bring a deliverer, a sacrifice who will pay for the penalty of all sin. And he will literally crush the head of the snake, Satan, and defeat his kingdom once and forever. And he says this all the way back in the book of Genesis. And I just share with you real quick, we looked at this a couple weeks ago when I preached. Notice though, the effects of that fall have fallen onto every one of us. And I love this verse, and Guy and I talk about this a lot, don't we, Guy? This passage is kind of fascinating, but look what it says. It says in verse 12, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence, And God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on earth. Like this evilness, this kingdom fight has spread into human beings. And it's just overwhelming, and it never stops. And we see those kingdoms. And God's kingdom is at war with this kingdom of evil, and it continues on, and we see it even today in our world. Chris, we'll go right down to the next slide, my brother. So when we stop and we think about that, everybody look up for a sec. Can we understand how many kingdoms are there? There's two. Satan's real. By the way, that's one of the greatest lies that he tells everybody. He's not real. If I went out in the street to interview people, do you think Satan exists? I'd say, no, he's a myth. Come on. Come on, we're educated now. You know, come on. You believe in Satan? There's no guy with a red suit and horns. Come on. Right? Satan's, one of his greatest deceptions is he doesn't exist. Right behind that is, man is basically good. Really? Does that match what you and I see in the world? I don't think so, right? Let's take a look at Israel for a second. We're going to kind of dive in. And Chris, take us down right to the next slide, if you would, this morning. Check it out. By the way, can you guys see that map pretty good? And I brought a pointer. I hope it points. But you guys, by the way, the nation of Israel, and remember, the nation of Israel is the size of what state? New Jersey, right? Not real big, right? There's the nation of Israel right there. This picture, right, is all of the Middle East. And I want you guys just take a minute, just as we look at this map for a second. Dag, isn't Saudi Arabia big? That's pretty big, isn't it? By the way, look at Egypt. That's pretty good size. Look at Iraq. That's pretty good size. Man, look at Iran. Wow. Here's Lebanon. That's where some terrorists live up there. You know, there's, by the way, Israel occupied Lebanon for a while. And in the 90s, they released Lebanon back. This is Syria right in here, pretty good size. This is Jordan. Jordan and Israel have sort of an agreement of normalization and peace. And then I look over here on this map, and I want to take you down in a minute to the next slide, but when I look at Israel, isn't it small? Doesn't it seem like you could overwhelm Israel in a heartbeat? And indeed, you can. Let me show you for a second the next slide. Chris, take us there for a minute today. Here's the land of Israel. Again, the size of New Jersey, blown up real big because it's only the size of our state. But I want you guys to understand that, and Chris, go back with me just for a quick second. When I look at that map, what do I see? Israel is surrounded by enemies on every side. And they're bigger by a lot. We'll look at that more in a second statistically. Chris, go down to Israel for a second. Not only is Israel surrounded by enemies on every side, Israel has enemies right within itself. And I want to share with you guys, this is what we're talking about right here. Gaza, this little area. Right? Right in the midst of Israel, right on the coast. By the way, and I'll show you a map in a second of this. You know who used to be part of this area in Bible history? The Philistines. By the way, the name Palestine, write this down, comes from the name Philistines. It was actually named Palestina, was the original name. But that's the land of the Philistines. And there's a people group that live there. We call them the Palestinians. And the Palestinians are former Arab holders of the whole land of Israel. And they're there, and there's a fence that protects Israel from them and them from Israel. It doesn't stop bombs, unfortunately, and, you know, those kind of things. But that's there. That's Gaza, very small area. By the way, there are between five and six million Palestinians. Let me everybody look up for a second. They're not all evil and they're not all terrorists. And they're all people that Jesus died for. Right? So we gotta get our understanding. We have to have our biblical worldview, not our, you know, worldly worldview. Thanks, Jonathan, for saying that, right? I want to share with you guys something else. So Israel has some problems within, but then look up here. This is the West Bank. You guys see that? The West Bank, you guys heard that probably in the news before. The West Bank is the west bank of the Jordan River. And the Jordan River flows all the way from up here all the way down, and it flows into the Dead Sea. You guys see that, right? So the West Bank is the West Bank. But here's the funny thing. The West Bank, and by the way, right there in the center, that's Jerusalem. The West Bank is part of Jerusalem. The Temple Mount is split between Muslims and Jews, right in the capital city. Can you imagine? And the West Bank has been a scene of so much fighting, has about 2.5 million Palestinians in it. So much fighting, so much unrest. And just imagine this for a second. This would be like the enemies of America are in Arlington, Virginia. Think about that. Like, you don't have to go far. You can literally reach out and touch them. And that's kind of what it is when I think about the land of Israel. So as we hear about all these things, that's what we're seeing. The enemies are right there. And we don't hear too much about this area. This is another area that is called an occupied area. It's called the Golan Heights, way up in the north. And there's some Palestinians that live there as well. By the way, everybody look up for a second. There are Palestinians that live all over Israel in this light green area that are Israeli citizens. And they're just happy to live in peace and take care of their families, raise their kids, and have a life like we do. Right? So that's sort of the dynamics of the land. There's a lot going on in there. And I'll share with you guys just for a second as we look at Gaza. Gaza to Jerusalem is between 60 and 70 miles. Gaza to Jerusalem is like us driving to Long Beach Island. You know, it's like us driving to, Newark Airport. So when you think about the danger that's there, it's not far. Rockets, missiles, those kind of things, they travel quick. So to get 60 miles from here to there doesn't take a long time. You have to have like an instantaneous warning to react, by the way, on either side. So very, very interesting as we begin to understand this picture. Chris, take us to the next slide. I want to share with you guys, as you stop and think about the landscape of Israel, and I want to go back and think about some of the people groups that are there, going back to our understanding of Scripture, right? Remember I said Gaza? That was the land of the Philistines. They were a thorn in Israel's side all along, right? When I look to the west, to the east of the Jordan River, look who's there, Edom. That's the descendants of Esau. Remember Jacob and Esau, right? The Moabites, remember, we can't stop talking about them in the book of Judges. They were just a thorn in Israel's side. You know, again, those people groups are still there. Ammon is there. Syria, the same Syria, Assyria and Babylon. Lebanon, Tyre and Sidon. By the way, read the book of Isaiah, the king of Tyre, the king of Sidon. They're talked about a lot. By the way, you guys, a homework assignment. It's a long one, but the book of Isaiah speaks so much to these nations. And we have to kind of do some digging and thinking about that. You know, is Egypt still there? The Amalekites as well. And over here, the Ishmaelites, right? Remember not the son of promise, but the other one, right? The Ishmaelites down here in Saudi Arabia. So, by the way, I say that to say this. Notice the same issues have been the same issues all the way back. And they continue on even to this day. And Israel's disobedience has kind of made some of these things stick around. When you disobey God, it doesn't really work out the way you want. And that lesson was learned hard by Israel. It continues to be learned even to this day. So we're going to slide down to the next slide. Chris, if you take us there. And you can see a similar map on the other side gives us a little more detail. Take us down there, Christopher, if you would. I want to share with you guys, just for a second, the land of Israel. I remember taking a geography course in Bible college, and they said it was called the land between. It's the land between everything else, and it's little. I'm going to give you guys a sense of that just for a second this morning. Get an idea. Look at this. This came from the source of this is the World Population Review. It's updated all the time. But this is looking at the area of each of the countries in square kilometers. Notice Saudi Arabia. Look at that number. 2 million square miles. Iran, 1.7 million square miles. Egypt, 1 million square miles. Turkey, 750,000 miles. By the way, look at Israel. 22,000 square kilometers. I said miles, kilometers. Israel is, by the way, Israel is what? Tiny, small. It's unbelievable. You know, it's number 11 on the list. You know, and the countries below it are Kuwait, which is real small. We hear a lot about Kuwait. Qatar, we hear a lot about that because of the money. It's real big in money, but it's real small in landmass. Lebanon, right above Israel, about half the size. Palestine, just so you guys are aware, that is the landmass of the West Bank, Gaza, and the Golan Heights, separately. And Bahrain, which is really tiny. But you get a sense, Israel is so small. And by the way, the percentage, just looking at those Middle Eastern countries, Israel is less than 1% of the land in the Middle East. 0.3. It doesn't even like, if I was rounding, by the way, it would be zero. It's unbelievable, right, when you see that. Chris, take us down to the next slide. Just help us understand this landscape that's going on. This is population. And again, look at some of these numbers. Egypt, 112 million. Iran, 89 million. Turkey, 85 million. Israel, 9 million. So when I look at that picture, I say, man, look at this landscape. What is going on? And some questions strike my mind. And Chris, take us to the next slide, if you would. Some questions really strike my mind. Like, what's going on in this land? And I want to share with you guys just a really brief timeline real quick about Israel. You know what? Israel hasn't even occupied that land very much in all of history. David ruled from Jerusalem in 1000 B.C. In 931, Solomon died. The kingdom divided into a northern and southern kingdom. And then about 300 years later, in 722, Assyria came in, captured the northern kingdom. The Babylonians came about 150 years later. They conquered the southern kingdom. And guess what? Israel was not in the land. All the way back as far as 586 BC. And just give us a little bit of an idea. That is like 2,500 years plus. So I want to just flash you guys forward. By the way, you're going to say, well, remember the Maccabees? Praise God for the Maccabees. The Persians followed the Babylonians. The Greeks followed the Persians. The Maccabees came in and revolted, and Israel remained autonomous for 80 years in 2,500 and change. Not that much, right? Jerusalem, you can see the Romans came in and conquered the Maccabees. Jerusalem was destroyed by Titus Vespasian in 70 A.D., and I want you guys to get this in your mind for a second. From 70 A.D. to 1880, a couple hundred years ago, that's when the first people, the first Jewish diaspora, the people that were dispersed all over the world, began to come back to the land they called what? Palestine. Palestina, the land of the Philistines, right? Began to come back to that. Chris, I'm not sure if I did that or you did that, but can you bring us back? Somebody said, we got to get done, Pastor Gary. I got lunch. Take us back down, Christopher, if you would, to where we were. To our quick timeline. Go up two more slides, my brother. There we go, right there. Thank you so much. That was quick. And I want you guys to understand, so until that time, Israel did not occupy the land. And then in 1880 to 1973, Israel battled mostly those outside enemies to get the land back. And you can see those things. In 1917, after World War I, Britain issued the Balfour Declaration that said, you know what? The Jews need a homeland of their own. And Israel began to get back on the map. In 1947, and by the way, do you guys think all those people in Palestine wanted the Jews back? What do you think? Not at all. They fought and they fought and they fought. Finally, in 1947, 1948, the UN established both a Jewish and Arab state. And that's what we see today. We see the remains of that, right? We see Gaza, we see West Bank, we see Golan Heights, we see Israel, all living together in disharmony. Right? That's where we are. And then I'll share with you guys, and this will be, we'll look at this more next week. I'm going to look at some scripture. But in 1973 and after, the issues for Israel have continued to be those outside, but they have now picked up the enemies on the inside. And I'll share with you, just about 20 years ago, almost to the day, Israel was doing the same thing in Gaza with Hamas and trying to root out the terrorists that were bombing Israel. Some things never change, do they? Some things never change. So I'm going to take us to the next slide. Christopher, if you will. Here's a couple conclusions I want to draw with us this morning. So Israel is really small in landmass. You guys agree with that? Remember, what's the number? Point three. Israel is so small in population, by the way, I didn't say the number. Israel is 1.9% of the population of the Middle East. Let me say that again. 1.9%. Unbelievable, right? Israel is surrounded by its enemies. Israel's enemies live within its borders. Israel has few supporters in the world. And what are we seeing today? A rise of anti-Semitism, right? Everywhere, college campuses. I heard there was a rally yesterday in London of 300,000 people against Israel, right? And I'll throw this out. Let me just say this. I understand, because when I see the Palestinian children bleeding and dying on the screen, it strikes my heart too, right? I understand. The world is such a mess, right? Israel has few supporters. And I want to ask this question, and I want you guys to be honest. Let's think about this for a second. How does Israel stand? How do they stand? How does this country that's 0.3 of all the landmass and 1% of all the people in the Middle East, with everybody who hates them and very little support in the world, by the way, not much beyond the United States when you come to countries, how do they stand? And the answer is God. That's how they stand. They stand because, and I said this, write this down. As you look at the world today, something supernatural is going on. Let's get that in our mind. Something supernatural is happening in the world that I see right now. And I want to go right to the next slide. I want to think about the other side. Because remember, I want to underline this thought in our mind. There is two kingdoms, not one, two. Look at the other side. I see the war in Ukraine, and I see the same devastation. I see the same children dying. I see the same old people dying. I see the atrocities when I look at Ukraine. I see Israel and Hamas. I see Israel and Hezbollah, who are threw a few bombs in from Jordan just to add to the fun, right? I see the same thing going on. I see civil war in Yemen. Yemen was all the way down on the Gulf. And by the way, they are supporters of these other organizations that are against Israel. I see war there. I see civil war in Yemen. I see terrorism all over the place. I see racism, hatred, crime, violence. I see the love of people cold as ice. What is going on here, right? It's kind of the question. I see man's inhumanity to man, and I see atrocities everywhere. It may be greater volume than we've ever seen on earth. And I want to say this to us. You know what? Something supernatural is going on. We're seeing these two kingdoms, right? God's kingdom and Satan's kingdom rise up and fight like we have never seen, at least in our lifetime. Right? That's what we're seeing. And that ought to kind of wake us up and say, wait a minute, something is going on here that I need to understand. And I want to slide down, Christopher, if you would, to the next slide. And I want to say this. Isn't it true that what I say, Jeremiah was right. He said, man, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I think if I asked you guys 2 months ago, would you believe what you're seeing? You would say, that would be impossible. But it's possible, right? Chris, take us to the next one as well. You know, Romans said this, right? There is none righteous, no, not one. And I even see it, and this makes me sad, and again, this happens all the time in our news and our media. Yeah, I see some Christians standing up saying, yeah, bomb those people. Just wipe them out. Is that what God says? I don't think so. You know, I don't think so. I think they're innocent people that will, by the way, you may or may not know this, there is a Christian population in Gaza that are probably suffering like they think Jesus is coming back tonight. They're praying he would come back tonight. Remember in the book of Revelation, it says that when the Lord rains down, and we'll look at this more next week, all of that tribulation on earth, people are going to say, God, bring the mountain and let it fall on me because I can't stand the suffering anymore. You know, and that's kind of what's happening, right? So we understand, again, God in the scriptures just kind of hit us to the T. This is what's going on. These two kingdoms are fighting. And Chris, take us down one more time, if you would, bro. But I want to leave this with you guys today. And I want to say this. Let's remember this. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. God is in control, and God is going to make everything right. He's going to make everything right. And I love verse 21. It says, the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know, and I believe this is more true today than I've ever seen in my lifetime. It says, we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And if I pick up the paper today or watch the TV today, you know what it's going to say? There's nations all over the world just groaning at the loss of innocent life, the literal destruction of nations because the evil kingdom wants to defeat God's kingdom. Right? And I want to leave us with a thought that I want to take away today is even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, for we were saved in this hope. You guys know the last words of Scripture, you know what they are? Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I want to say that to you today. I'm going to underscore that. You know why? Because there is no real, write this down, lasting hope on this earth. We all have hopes and aspirations for our kids, our grandkids, ourselves, our families, and God will bring about many of those things, but there is no hope that's going to last on this earth until it's redeemed by God. And Jesus is coming again to do that work. And I'll share one more thought, kind of the other side of that. I bet you guys have heard this in your conversations. And Peter wrote about this. He said this, he said, for since the fathers fell asleep, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? And that's what happened to the type there. All things continue as they were from the beginning. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord a day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Let me paraphrase real quick. There's people out there saying, this Christianity thing, this Bible thing, that's all bunk. It's not true. You've been saying Jesus is coming back. You've been saying God's going to do this from the beginning, right? And Chris is going to save me. Save me, Chris.
It's that pointer.
Yeah, it is that pointer. Put that down. Put that thing down. Let me say this. The world is saying there's no hope, or the hope's got to come from us. When I look at that picture we just displayed on the screen of the map, when I look at the statistics, when I look at the history of Israel, we haven't seen any real hope come from man in 2,000 plus years. The hope comes from Christ. The hope comes from Christ. Like we are in our churches, we got to say, you know what? I see all that stuff, but I'm hopeful. I'm not glad those innocent people are perishing and suffering, but I know God's in control. I know we're going to be okay. I know that God is loving and caring and long-suffering, and he's trying to save all my friends and my family. So he's tarrying, he's waiting so we can do that. And when we think about the day of the Lord, that's what God is doing. Take us down a couple more verses there, Chris. That's what God is doing. And I'm going to hit the clicker because we're going to close in a song. And the song says this, right? It says that Jesus is coming again. And he's going to come again, and he is going to save us in a final way. And he is going to make all things right. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth that will defy all of the things that we see. And I want us as a church, right? That's why we can stand strong. If I'm waiting for the next political candidate to save me, I might as well just throw up my hands, right? And by the way, I'll say this, not just in America, but I mean Israel, I mean Ukraine, I mean Russia. I'll throw this out. If Vladimir Putin really dies and someone else comes into power, are we thinking he's going to be like a savior? Probably not coming out of that ideology, right? All the world's ideologies leave us where we are. But the words of Scripture and the promise of God give us a hope that doesn't quit. Amen? Next week, we're going to look at some more and think about this day of the Lord, God's judgment, but God's deliverance. And I hope this week that we can kind of live that way, that we can live confidently, and at the same time we say to ourselves, you know what? Jesus is coming back. I better get my life together and start living righteously and purposefully, because that's what really matters. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your word today. We love you, Lord. We love, Father, what you're doing, Lord, and the hope that you give us. And I pray, dear God, that you would just work in us, dear God, that we would have a confident faith, and dear God, that we would have a conscious lifestyle of living and seeking, Lord, to live in a godly way in the power of your Spirit. And Lord, I ask these things in Jesus' name, amen.